Welcome to Opening Voices. Today, Quentin Adams, CEO of CleverCloud, is meeting Steve Morin, CEO and founder of ZML. In this final episode, they are detailing ZML offer and philosophy in building high-performance AI inference tech.
Hello, and welcome to Opening Voices. I'm Quentin Adams from CleverCloud, and I am still talking with Steve Morin from ZML. We are trying to explain a little bit what is the point between hardware, software, and all the AI works today. So there have been three prior episodes to this. And now that we have make a little bit of comprehension of how works the market, maybe we can explain what does ZML and why are you speaking about all of that? Because from the know-how, we don't understand what does ZML on this stuff.
What we are doing is everything from where AI is today to where we think AI should go, which is becoming the foundation of the future economy. On that journey, what we do is products, technology, algorithms, architectures to serve that purpose. One of which is completely commoditizing the compute that runs AI. Meaning that freely change between chips, compute chips, in the sense, number one, for what's available today, but chips, you know, past, present, and of course, future. So at the very bottom, you know, of our, I would say, technology, we have software that can run on any compute, any chip, any hardware for any model at maximum compute capacity without compromise. Because of course, if there's a compromise, then it's very different. It's a very different choice. And in the end, everything we do is bridging the gap between the AI that will essentially infiltrate the entire economy and where AI is today, in which it needs a lot of efficiency gain, a lot of user experiences gains, a lot of architectural changes, a lot of compute changes, a lot of commoditization for that to happen. The problem though is now we need to fast track this. And we cannot wait, you know, 10 years for this to happen, because it will happen eventually. But right now we are racing to do this.
So basically, what is the kind of blocks you need to build to do this kind of stuff?
Number one, at the very bottom, you want to be able to give... Number one, you want to be faster. You want to use existing hardware better.
But existing hardware can be NVIDIA or non-NVIDIA?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But you want to be faster. You want to be more efficient. You want to be cheaper without changing anything. Software is easy to distribute. Hardware, a lot harder. That's number one.
And hardware is invested and amortized
exactly
over time. And it already have a business plan.
So it's atoms that have to be moved from one moved to be one place to another. And it's there already. And we have to use it to the full extent. There's a lot of room for improvement on existing hardware. Whether it's engineering related, architectural related, mathematical related, all of the, you know, all of this combined, this is number one. Number two, you need to bring optionality. You want, because it's one thing to be faster on the same hardware. It's another thing to have access to better, cheaper, more efficient, more local hardware. So this is the number two thing we bring on the table, which is optionality of compute. You were NVIDIA, now you can add AMD to the equation, let's say, or TPU or Amazon Trainium. And this is about essentially chasing efficiency. So today you have optionality of compute. But what's more important about optionality of compute is that you open also the door to future chips. So you are not bound by essentially everything, you know, or anything NVIDIA does. You can freely navigate into whichever best chip is, you know, serves, you know, you best. That's number two. Number three is operating complexity. So how hard is it to do it yourself? How hard is it to operate these systems? Whether you buy them or you run them or whatever, or you rent them or you whatever, there's an operating complexity you need to solve. And so, and in the end, and finally, of course, all of this gets into the financials, the privacy, the security, the you know, the efficiency, anything, the business model, the pricing model, the economic units, everything is addressed by these three things. Because if operating complexity is very hard, you are maybe tempted to, you know, go back to tokens, but then you give away privacy. Bringing down operating complexity, being faster, being more
optional,
bring optionality of compute, well, this is to say commodity of compute.
Yes, or possibility to just like change and reopen the market of what we provide you the stuff.
Let's use one of the oldest tool in capitalism, which is competition to our advantage. This is the idea. But also it's about opening a door to breakthroughs, evolution, and edging all our bets. We are, maybe there's like this new company that does, you know, very breakthrough things. There's many of them. But the way to operate their chip is very different from NVIDIA. How can I get those benefits without paying the price, or at least the operating complexity? Because by the way, operating complexity, there's operating complexity related to the hardware, there's operating complexity related to AI. They are different.
Yeah,
but in the end, it's about complexity.
Statefulness is bringing
one of which, yes,
of complexity.
Data movements, all of these things. So, but I think these are the three things, and the journey of ZML is addressing those three things at the same time by the same people with the same products and the same technology.
And where are you today?
So
on the journey.
Pretty good, pretty far, because we now have technology that runs transparently on at least four platforms, many incoming, but...
Which are the fourth platform you...
NVIDIA, of course. AMD, the contender. Google TPU, the dedicated, you know, AI chips, and Amazon Trainium. So the idea was we get the leader, we get the competitor, and then we get the readily available AI dedicated chips. TPU, Trainium, you can get them right now. You go on your Google console, you say, all right, TPU, boom, right? They are already available, distributed. Chances are you are already an Amazon, let's say, customer, right?
Yeah.
So they are freely available, freely as in,
they are not available free, in the market if right. You are in the cloud of Google or
right.
Amazon.
So these are the four platforms we yeah.
And you're working.
By the way, if you run on Amazon and you're buying NVIDIA on Amazon, why would you?
Because right? Today you have a software problem.
Let's keep the middleman. Yeah, but so without ZML, you might think yeah, but the Trainium stack is hard, right?
Yeah.
So that's a huge investment for me. I need to spend a lot of, you know, time and energy and money. And you get into this very complex problem in which doing, unless you are like a very big, you know, company, doing, let's say, Trainium means you essentially abandon NVIDIA, because doing two at the same time is hard, right? And so that is a tough choice. That is a tough ask for people.
And
rightly so, in my opinion.
And you can run which kind of model?
All of them.
This?
All of them.
When you say all of them is?
LLMs, image,
but it
voice.
Works with Llama, it works with OpenAI, open source.
Yeah, all of them.
All the models that you have open weight right now on
even closed weights. We worked with Poolside to run, make their models run. Yeah,
so it can work. It kind of works on
It doesn't really matter whether it's.
So basically, what you are doing.
As long as we build. We have the weights in the code and the architecture, not the code. We will make it work.
So you have the plumbery of the. You are working.
It's an ML framework. It's open source. GitHub.com/ZML/ZML. It's the technical foundation by which, number one, we write models. Number two, we abstract the hardware. So it is also about abstracting the hardware in the sense that. Because there's many things about abstracting the hardware. It's how do you talk to the hardware? It's how do you leverage the hardware software to, you know, run at maximum capacity? Because our premise is that NVIDIA knows how to program for NVIDIA chips.
And it's become CUDA.
So, or cuDNN, or like all the libraries that make the CUDA ecosystem. But the thing is, they have operating complexity that you have to. So we bring all of this, by the way, this is all open source, and we bring all of this into this framework called ZML. GitHub.com/ZML/ZML.
That means also that a chip provider can provide into ZML on open source its own way to access this hardware.
Right, but the interface doesn't have to be open source.
Okay.
And that's very important because what you want is, or at least what we want, is to allow other providers to differentiate without opening too much of how their chip work. Because it's important that we have competition on the market.
And you're not forcing the model of the competition. Everyone can decide wherever he chooses to. And why did you not host this kind of product on top of a big foundation or something like that to gain stability and audience? And
because there's a product line to be made and the opportunity is bigger for us to be a for-profit company.
Yeah, but you can be a for-profit company working with a foundation.
Oh, I don't know. Laziness.
Laziness, okay.
we built it. There was no. Let's just say trying to capture, you know, money on a framework is weird, to say the least. And so, but also,
there is a good company working on framework and being rich, you know, like GBoss, Oracle.
Yes, but the framework is free. Our framework is free.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. And also, by the way, there was a question about should we make our, I would say, chip agnosticity open source. And to me, the answer was yes, because I as a founder, I have a vested interest in competition, you know, existing.
Openness, yeah.
Yes. But also, most importantly, the customers, the users have, you know, an interest in this thing to happen, you know.
That's something very important in the digital world is like customers and users have interest inside breaking the monopoly, which is something that we don't do right now, but I think it would be interesting.
But there's many reasons, by the way, but it's always a good thing that there's competition. It breeds, you know, innovation, it breeds efficiency. And so for this, you know, we figure it was best to have that part open source because we want more. We want more actors in the field.
Okay. So that's the development. So maybe what you can do right now, because we continue the discussion, but at some point we all need to go to bed after 5 weeks meeting all together.
It was long 5 weeks. We ran out of batteries, you know. The eagle eyes will have, you know, seen the difference.
Yeah. So, what is your view on the market right now, and what do you announce for the market for the next few months or year? What do you think would happen to the market of art?
I mean,
how do you run it? And in a glimpse of understanding why it's important to invest right now on AI and this kind of situation.
I mean, look, it's going to penetrate the entire economy, plain and simple. How many times in your life will you have something as transformative and as, you know, I would say, wide, ripe for the taking? There's not that many opportunities. Mobile, if you were not developing for mobile, not a lot. There's many, you know, sides of the economy that don't really, you know, need to have a mobile presence, right? Even though, you know, mobile, there's more phones than people. Imagine something with an open ceiling that will penetrate everything, in which everybody is racing against, and the odds are not, you know, settled. So it's, you know, all of us for the taking. And so I think, you know, we should invest in it, or at least spend a bit of brain cycle into it. I know I am. On the altar of, there's not that many opportunities that can be as transformative as AI is. Everybody is trying to figure out, we're all, you know, searching for like products, usage, technologies, but it's very much a gold rush. And the opportunities are incredible. Whether it's, by the way, financial, society, politics, it's very, very intertwined. And it's very, very much the beginning. It may crash. Maybe we're in a bubble, but it will not die.
When we say bubble, you know, for example, the dot-com bubble, we said the bubble dot-com have crashed. Yeah, a lot of people have lost a little
bit
of
money. Yeah, but
did the bubble really crash? Do you stop using internet?
Did it kill the internet? No.
Yeah. Does the internet stop changing the society and the way we live? I don't think so. So yeah, maybe there will be some overhyping and on too much starification and survalorization of some company. But at the end of the day, the way AI works will change the world forever. And yes.
It has, by the way, changed the world.
Yeah.
Maybe in our little, you would say, privileged bubble, for sure. But it has at least the potential to change it for literally everyone. And that, by the way, in that sense, is the book is like it's still unwritten. So there's a lot of, you know, it's up to us to write it. And don't, you know, believe, you know, the bullshit. We are very, very much at the beginning.
So as I often say, it's computer, it's about the software. ZDML is a software company. I'm very confident about what they're doing. Right now, I hope that the few episodes have make some people understand a little bit more about the economics and the point of making AI and how does it compute. So that was Opening Voices. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Quentin.
To come there. Go to zdml.ai to understand more about ZDML. And we will see in a few weeks for a new interview inside Opening Voices. Thank you very much.
And keep building.
Thank you for listening to Opening Voices. This was the final podcast of this series with Steve Morin. Now please subscribe so you don't miss our next interviews with European tech leaders.